This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. Healthy Habits.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
And we're asking you this afternoon, do you have a gadget? I've got my Apple Watch on right now. I've had a few Fitbits in my time. But we want to know, do they help you? Health gadgets like watches that monitor your activity, rings that keep track of your sleep, and glasses that minimise your exposure to blue light are growing in popularity. But do they actually work, and how accurate can they be? Joining us on the line now, we've got Dr. Nasser Al-Jafar. He's a medical director at the DNA Health and Wellness Clinic here in Dubai to discuss just that, as well as how we can both ourselves, as you know, normal people, and those healthcare professionals can best make use of them. Plus, we'll be getting his recommendations too. Dr. Nasser, how are you this week?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm pretty good, thank you. I feel like being able to go to the beach again is just, I know this sounds a little bit melodramatic, but it's made a huge difference to me. It really, really has. I was on the beach this morning at 6:30, took the kids along, had a little picnic breakfast, and it's just the best, it's just genuinely the best way to kind of start my day. And I saw on your social media recently, you're all about getting into nature as well. So tell us a little bit about your forest bathing.
Shinrin-yoku.
Ooh.
No, I'm always kind of looking for techniques for my clients to try and reduce stress. As you've heard me say before, I think it's kind of one of the areas which is really impactful on people's health and has been linked to all sorts of chronic disease. But it's one of those that people find is difficult to quantify and then also quite difficult to treat. I mean, you've got to implement something which is sustainable for people where they're going to get biggest bang for the buck for the least effort. Now, we've always known that being out in nature, whether it be just anecdotally or from the research, that it does reduce stress. And it was just interesting, I delved a little bit deeper into the research and found a study from 2019 where they took, I think it was about 30 to 40 people who lived in the city and just had them go out in nature at least 3 times a week. And they found that the efficiency of just being in nature, they called it nature pill, was just incredible for just reducing stress levels. And it looked like the sweet point was between sort of 20 and 30 minutes of just sitting surrounded by nature. It was just incredible. Just something you wouldn't get from a pill, a normal sort of medical pill, as we would know.
And there's even been studies about there being an element of nature outside a hospital window, you know, whether that's just a tree, being hugely beneficial in recovery rates. And as you say, it's very hard to quantify, but I think we've all felt that. And, you know, when I think about what I'm missing right now, you know, feeling a bit homesick, it's walking, you know, in the woods, it's walking by the river. And now that we're able to go to the beach and, you know, we heard earlier from Dr. Heather Ead about the benefits of inhaling air that has sodium in it, you know, that kind of fresh sea air. It's not a myth, you know, it is there and is 100% beneficial for our health. So people, please do get back into nature, be socially distant, you know, be safe. But the time is now because it's going to be getting a little bit hot very shortly. Now, we've spoken before about health gadgets, and I love to get your take on this. We're going to be kind of really breaking it down this afternoon. And I just wondered if we can kind of do a bit of a reset. You can put your doctor hat on. I'll put my laywoman's Apple Watch on. And I just wondered, what are your general thoughts on health gadgets? Because you do use them yourself.
I do, yeah. I mean, I've got to practice what I preach. I'm pretty big into it. If I could insert a chip under my skin, I probably would.
Early adopter.
If you think about it, you know, if you're running a company, you know what, you've got a panel which will tell you about kind of the health of your company, whether it be financial, operational. We take our cars annually for a service, but we're so ignorant about our own health. It's never really a priority, and we may go annually for a medical. But I just think that this concept of getting more feedback, we call it biofeedback and sort of self-quantification, where you're collecting data on yourself, is just very powerful in terms of sort of prevention and also helps with behavior change, particularly with my clients. So there's all sorts of devices that we use. I've spoken before about sleep monitors, you know, particularly the Oura Ring, which also actually has the added benefit of tracking something called your heart rate variability. which has been linked to stress as well. And we can talk a little bit more about that. But we use Apple Watches. Again, I think it's great for steps, heart rate, breathing apps. And then as far as even looking at kind of glucose monitors, continuous glucose monitors, looking at glucose variation and insulin variation, because we know, again, that these are tied to chronic health problems. So I think it's just taking it to another level of getting data on oneself to influence behavior.
And I think in the future, this will be very much something that we're the majority of people will be tracking really closely. It just seems that some people, like doctors, like athletes, might be a little bit ahead of that curve because it, you know, it pays off in their professional lives as well. I just wondered about accuracy, though. You know, for example, both Danny and I wear Apple Watches, and they're not specifically health gadgets as such. But, you know, a big part of it is about that health aspect, you know, closing the rings, measuring heart rate, movement. As a doctor, if I were to come to you and say, you know, I've just noticed this about my, you know, so my BPM right now is at 67. How accurate is it? And as a doctor, do you take those results, you know, into consideration when you're looking at a patient?
Yeah, I mean, I think when it comes to an Apple Watch and something as simple as a heart rate, I mean, these I'm not sure, I don't know off the top of my head whether it's been FDA cleared, but it's certainly going to be of the sensitivity where I wouldn't question the accuracy. Now, when you're getting into more complex analysis, so I've spoken about sort of glucose monitoring and things, then yeah, there's very few companies that would have devices on the market that are that accurate. Now, also there's a debate about sleep monitors. There's a huge number of companies now offering sleep monitors, and when a lot of them have gone head-to-head, they've given very different results. So again, like all things in life, and it's the same with the supplement industry as well. You have to go with the one that is either independently sort of tested or has that kind of rubber stamp.
I'm glad you mentioned sleep there, because there has been debate around, as you say, accuracy between different devices and methods, but also whether or not actually knowing those results are that beneficial to our mental health and ultimately our sleep. You know, I know when I was using a Fitbit, which does track sleep, I would find myself waking up and going, okay, if I've had more than 7 hours sleep, then that's been a good night. And that would, you know, automatically kind of set me up in a positive way for the day, even if I felt tired before I checked that result. Whereas if I'd look at my watch and go, oh, I only had, you know, 5 hours and 15 minutes, that immediately would put me in a bad mood. And I think, well, it's going to be a rubbish day because I'm absolutely knackered, even if I wasn't actually listening to my body. So how kind of conflicting can that be? Could there be too much information, do you think?
Definitely. And I think that goes for not just monitoring, for testing as a whole. So, I mean, there's certain people who you have to question the benefit of doing particular tests or investigations or tracking. So it has to be selected to the individual. And I'm by no means saying that these devices are essential. We've been living across the generations of hundreds of years without these devices, and we were living perfectly well. It's just one of those kind of health hacks that can be beneficial to certain groups of people.
You know, I'm glad you kind of quantified that with kind of certain groups of people, because I could imagine some people might become too reliant on them. Have you had any instances of that?
Yeah, and I have. And I think another one that's kind of akin to that is when you're kind of trying to help people with body composition and weight loss, and all they're talking about is calories, and it just becomes an unhealthy relationship. And sometimes people can miss the point and the wider picture. So, you know, these are accessories which are there to help. And if I feel that it's detrimental, then, you know, we're always going to go back to lifestyle as a whole. It's nice to have this information, but I can tell a lot just from a history and use lifestyle, which is always going to be the cornerstone.
So let's talk a little bit around the important data. So if someone has your kind of entry level, your Fitbit, or as I said, you know, an Apple Watch, what are some of the most important bits of information we need to be keeping an eye on, Doctor?
Well, I mean, I guess not so much the Apple Watch and the Fitbit. I think, you know, I've spoken before about sleep, and I think in terms of tracking sleep, there's definitely a couple of products on the market, and I've spoken before about the Oura Ring, and another popular one now is the Whoop strap, which effectively do the same thing.
The what strap?
It's called a Whoop.
Whoop strap.
No, it's another. yeah. Well, I guess. And listen, the difference between the ring and the Whoop is that one is on your finger, and one is on your wrist. I personally prefer wearing a device on my finger because it's less intrusive. The other problem with the Whoop is that it's a monthly membership, so it's kind of over time, it's more costly. Now, I've spoken about the importance of sleep before. There's going to be slight limitations to commercially available trackers. It's not like being in a sleep lab hooked up to electrodes, but there's certainly the accuracy now where, again, it's going to lead to improvements in your sleep routine and sleep quality. Now, the other thing that I think is really important for is heart rate variability, or HRV. Now, just to explain what that is for people, the vast majority of us, or certainly all of us who are healthy, will have a regular heartbeat. But their heart doesn't beat evenly like a metronome. We do have slight variations and intervals in between our consecutive heartbeats. We're talking milliseconds here, so we wouldn't notice it as an individual. We know that if you have a high heart rate variation, then you're more stress resilient. If it's low, then you're less stress resilient. It's a very important form of biofeedback because it should influence kind of what you do in that day, whether you prioritize your sleep for that day, whether you maybe reduce the type of workout that you're doing. Mm-hmm. So things like that, I think, are very important. Now, coming to sort of Fitbit, Apple Watches, I think they're great in terms of monitoring movement. So, and again, there's some people who it doesn't really rub off on well, but there are definitely, again, a subsection of people where it's very encouraging. So if they're tracking, for example, steps per day, I've got a lot of clients who they're just really in competition with themselves in a healthy way just mm-hmm. to improve their movement. So it really just gets certain people moving properly. And Sam as myself, I wear an Apple Watch as well. And I use it mainly for the breathing. It's just got a very simple
reminders
app. Exactly. And it's these are just so simple, free, accessible interventions. I mean, everyone thinks they have to go and buy expensive food and go to a gym. These are stuff we can all do and just have amazing effects on our health.
I just wondered if you know, the kind of the main strength of these health gadgets for fitness, and do they come over the long term, you know, seeing how your heart rate variability changes over the course of weeks, months, and even years?
It will definitely influence your long-term trends. I mean, ultimately that comes down to the individual and how much they sort of buy into it. And if I find that there's individuals where it's not really impacting on their health and it's more a hindrance, then there isn't really a role for it. But I think you raise an important point. In general, I mean, there's only a point in having a tracker if it's going to lead to a better outcome.
Mm-hmm. Lead to change.
Talking in general about mm-hmm. health. Yeah.
So I know a few weeks ago you posted on your Instagram page about those blue light blocking glasses that you started watching with some really impressive results that, you know, the data, and I'd love you to remind us of the numbers, the impact it had on your sleep. Have you continued to use them, and are they still helping you get a good kip at night?
I do. Listen, I'm not doing it every night. And I think just to sort of put it in a more abstract way, a lot of our health problems come from the fact that we're no longer living as in our ancestral environment. So we spoke before about being in nature. Well, we know that when animals are in a zoo in confinement, that they have poorer mental and physical health. Well, it's no different us living inside a building. So, you know, all these different aspects of our lifestyle where we've become removed from our natural habitat are going to be influencing the quality of our health. So, it doesn't sort of take science or necessarily research to really, you know, need to sort of quantify that. And I think just gadgets in a way are just an accessory to try and help sort of put you back into that sort of environment, moving, sleeping better, being exposed to sort of a normal light rhythm, and blue blockers come into that as well. So the fact that we're living indoors means that our bodies just think that it's nighttime in the day because we're not outside, and they think that it's daytime at night because we're surrounded by a lot of fake light. So the blue blockers just help restore that circadian rhythm, which leads to better mental health, better physical health, better sleep quality.
So finally, if we are going to part with some hard-earned dirhams, Dr. Nasser, where should we be spending our money when it comes to prioritising the most important data and the best gadgets?
Well, I think, first of all, what would be good is just to take a step back and just actually maybe get a baseline of where you are with respect to your health. I mean, I think that's important. And along with a device, making sure that you have the right lifestyle plan in place. And then, you know, if I have a client, for example, where sleep and stress is the biggest issue, then I would go for something like the Oura Ring or the Whoop that I mentioned. If it's someone who I think requires more in terms of you know, meditation or the breathing exercise, or needs to move more than I would think of a, you know, an Apple Watch, which again also has kind of other benefits, or a Fitbit. Ultimately, really, everyone has different tastes as well. So it really depends on what you prefer kind of functionally, and also, I guess, from a fashion perspective as well.
It's always a factor. And Dr. Nasser, where can people find you, and how's the clinic operating right now?
Yeah, so we're based at DNA Health in Al Qasr Hotel. We're back to pretty much normal operation. And in fact, it, as you were saying, you know, it's given people a release of life. It's somewhere for them to go. We've seen a surge of people coming in. So when they're not at the beach, they seem to be attending to their health, which is a great yeah. thing. But we're available 7 days a week.
Only a positive thing. Thank you so much for joining us. Always an absolute pleasure to chat.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to dubaieye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.